This podcast is brought to you by Julius Meinl Coffee. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Richard, thank you so much for joining me on Evenings on FNR.
Thanks for having me.
I think a lot of the clubs over the weekend would have enjoyed the Easter break, but not for Perth Glory's academy. You and a group of young players were off to the JSSL Sevens. Firstly, can you tell me a little bit about the international tournament that the Glory participates in each year?
It's a seven-a-side tournament that a lot of decent clubs from around Europe go and participate in. It's an under-16 tournament for pro clubs, and it's just a great experience for the guys to go out and play against other clubs from around the world.
And for you as a coach, do you have to switch things up to suit the seven-a-side, five-a-side game?
Yeah, it's a different experience. You know, you're sort of teaching things that you probably wouldn't teach on an 11-a-side ground, but the players enjoyed the challenge and enjoyed something a little bit different to what they're used to week in, week out.
What kind of observations did you notice about the team that you took over compared to some of the clubs that they were playing against, like, you know, your Valencias, your Arsenals, Atletico Madrid?
Look, I think the biggest thing to take out of it was, and, you know, this is something that I said to the boys during the trip and even after the trip, that, you know, they're just young men just like yourselves, and they're all aspiring footballers. So I think at that level, the talent pool is very similar, and it's just about the way they conduct themselves on the pitch and how they progress in their careers, really. So the biggest thing was just to match them up against guys of their own age and just to give them a taste of you know, a little bit of comparison on where they're at as far as world football is concerned.
And I'm sure that they're not too far off, considering they made the grand final.
Yeah, look, the boys did very well. You know, considering we started off a little bit slow, but I think they got to grips with it. And then in the end, they played some very attractive football and did well winning games as well, albeit in a different form. But, you know, they matched it with these guys who are from a different world, I suppose, in football in terms being in Europe and being such at a high level and it's always in your face. You know, I don't think we have that luxury here. So it was good for them to be able to measure themselves up against that, and they did extremely well. Look, there wasn't a lot of instructions as far as what we usually do. You know, it was just a little bit slight little adjustments here and there for the type of game that it was. But really, we're always instructing them to play at tempo and always want them to play at a high tempo. So I think that part wasn't any different to what we've been preaching even back here in Perth. It was just more the tactical bits that, you know, are different when you're playing your seven-a-side game.
And I was really surprised to see that you've got a long weekend and you've made really good use of the time that you've got and scheduled in an international youth tournament.
Yeah, look, I think it's at a good time. It's Easter. It's one of those things that the guys are away from their families, and we use that also as a learning tool as well. You know, football's a very unforgiving game. I think most sport is that you don't really have many holidays and many events without sport. So it's also a learning curve for them to be able to adapt to being away from family in those important moments, you know, like Easter and Christmas and things like that. And that's something that we made clear to them that, you know, this is part of being a footballer. And, you know, when you're a footballer, you're away from home a lot and you've got to be able to deal with that. So we learnt a lot of things on the park, but I think we learnt quite a bit off the park as well. And that was a great learning experience for them.
And those lessons off the pitch are certainly more important than lessons on the pitch.
Definitely. You've got to be able to be mentally strong and be able to deal with the things that come your way. And, you know, when you're away from your family at such an important time in the year, it can be tough and it can be challenging. And I think the boys dealt with that very well. And hopefully that holds me in good stead for future tournaments and for future, you know, hopefully careers.
And when you went down 2-0 to Arsenal in the grand final, take me through the game and how Arsenal were able to edge the Glory boys. Was it a tight affair or was it one-sided?
It was a tight affair, but I think we had an extra couple of games on that day. We had to qualify the hard way because we didn't start off that well in the group stages. So by the end of the day, we were fairly fatigued, and I think the boys did tremendously well. I think both teams were fairly fatigued, and I think in the end, those extra games that we had probably made us the more fatigued of the two sides.
When we spoke at the start of the NYL season in 2018-19, you mentioned you wanted to play a similar formation to the way Tony Popovich plays with the first team. Looking back, how has the playing group adapted to that now we're also a few months down the track?
Look, they're continually growing. They're continually learning about the system and the way to play it. But look, I think the principles are the most important thing that we're trying to portray to these guys, the type of football we want to be playing, regardless of what system it is. We want them to play quick passing, attractive football, and I think they're starting to come to terms with that. I think that's sort of starting to spread even to the lower groups, which is fantastic. And I think those principles are really the important bits to be learning.
And how do you think the team did throughout the NYL season?
Look, I think for the first year and for the change and everything like that, a lot of those guys first time in NYL, so I think they did fairly well. The group are continually growing and maturing, not only on the park but off the park as well, which is fantastic, and it's pleasing to see that they've gone into the NPL season and they're still improving on the behaviours that we want them to improve on.
And what do you make of the opposition now that they've gone into the NPL season? Because it's a little bit different from the youth league.
Look, it's a tough one, because they get the physical element in the NPL, but really the tactical element isn't as good as in the FYL. I think coming up against possibly some of the players that have played A League and things like that. Is a fantastic experience for those guys when they do that in FYL. I think they need more of. I think 8 games is probably not enough for the youth guys to play. I think they need quite a bit longer season as far as youth football is concerned, matching themselves up against the best young guys in the country.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. There's been a lot of discussion about expanding the game and even bringing in a second division. Do you think that a second division might help some of the younger players, or should we still focus specifically on the youth side of the game, expanding the NYL to more games and really developing that part of football?
Look, I think there's a good case for both. But I think most of the guys that we are talking about will end up playing in the second division, so I don't see why we don't just make the second division an extended youth league and make it almost like a reserve league where we can have under 23 players and then senior players as well. I think for me, we have to make a decision on players very early. At 21, they've got to have a scholarship, so it now becomes an issue because it's a salary cap issue and things like that. So a lot of players end up getting released when they probably need an extra 1 or 2 years to sort of adapt and maybe mature as players. So for me, an extended youth league, that can almost be like a second division. I also think that, that allows players that are coming back from injury in the A-League to get game minutes under their belt. I think there's also a lacking space for that because, when people have long-term injuries or even minor injuries and need to come back and need to find some form, or players haven't played as much, they need somewhere to play. And unfortunately, there isn't anywhere for A-League players to play when they're coming back from injury. So that would solve that problem as well. And then in hand with that comes young guys playing against talented A-League players coming back from injury and being able to put themselves against those guys. So for me, that extended youth league would work well.
Rich, you obviously had an extensive career at Hull City and West Ham United. You touched on the fact that you like to identify players quite early on. Are there many players in Western Australia that you think have the qualities to make it to the big time?
Look, there's definitely guys who have attributes and behaviours that I think could take them a long way. But it's always about how they mature and how they get on. I think sometimes the penny drops a little bit later for some than others. And I think that's where we lack that little bit of in-between, where some guys don't get it as quick as others. And the guys who get it quickly make the A-League. It's the guys who don't get it straight away that need a little bit more time in the professional environment to help them get to where they need to be.
And Manchester United are coming out in round about a month or two. Do you think many of the youth boys might get a run against them, or do you think Popovich will just keep majority of his main senior players?
Look, I think there will be an extended squad for that game. But I think it's always good to see how you're running as an A-League team, even though it is early in the pre-season, against those guys. So I think it'll be sort of an extended squad, but I think most of the A-League guys will play against Manchester United.
And it must be pretty exciting for many of those young players there in Western Australia to have a first team like Perth Glory doing so well.
Of course, you know, I think once the first team do well, I think everything underneath tends to follow on. I think even the aspiring guys that are below them, the 14, 15-year-olds that are doing well in the academy, you know, aspire to be first team players, as they all should do.
I feel like it's such a fine line between wanting to win the A-League and also having a mix of youth in the scheme of things. How tough do you think that kind of battle is?
It definitely is a hard one, and I think there's no other option at the moment that it sort of allows you to do both. I think, you know, you've got to try and have an experienced squad and have players that have played the level before. So unless you're continually being successful, it becomes harder and harder to dabble into youth. Whereas, you know, if you've got a strong youth league that is all year round, that has a lot of games, it then allows you to have time and patience with these young guys and slowly introduce them into first team football.
And it's pretty fascinating to see how other clubs are tracking with their youth teams as well. I'm sure that not many people would have thought Brisbane Roar would take out the youth league title, but they've come leaps and bounds as well.
Yeah, look, I think it's always a big progression thing where, you know, it takes time for teams to gel and for guys to mature in age. Look, I think that's just part of the youth league. And again, I'll say it again, I think the more games they play against the best young guys going around Australia, the better for them.
And looking back to the NPL, this weekend you're at home to Sorrento. How do you think this game will go, and how will the boys bounce back from last weekend?
Look, we played quite well last weekend and had a great chunk of possession and just didn't capitalise on the chances we had and then made silly errors in the opposite. So I think the guys will be very keen to get back out there and prove to everyone that they're still a good team and that they're hungry to win.
And Rich, are you liking your time as youth head coach at the moment? Because I feel like a lot of the boys like having you there as head coach, and it's reflective in the results.
Look, I hope they like me as head coach. But yeah, look, I'm enjoying my time doing this. It's great to be able to float between youth and A-League football. It's great to be able to see what the boss does, Tony Popovich, and what Hayden does as well. And it's great being a part of that and being able to have a hand in that and helping those circles. And then that allows me then to come back down and have my own, I suppose, put my own stamp on a team and put my own coaching to the test, which is fantastic for me and my development.
And you were born in Perth. How exciting was it to see the Glory finally take out the Premier's plate?
Oh, fantastic. I think for me, it's been a long time coming. I think Glory's always had good squads and always been a force to be reckoned with, but never quite always done it on the park. And it's lucky that everything's come together, which has been fantastic, not only for the club, but for the city as well.
And it seems like it's a real top-down effect.
Definitely, I think it is. I think the owner Tony Sage has really put all his focus into to winning some silverware and really invested heavily, not only on the park but really off the park as well, and made sure that not only the first team but the guys underneath have really had great support, which really makes a difference. It makes a difference to the youth guys, and makes a difference to the youth academy. It makes a difference to the whole club. So it's a big hats off to him, and also to the coaching staff in the first team who've, you know, continually pushed the first team players to be successful, which is great.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining me on Evenings on FNR, and I look forward to checking back in with you again sometime soon.
No problem. Thanks for having me.